unity is strength and assured success. All for one and one for all. Unity means solidarity. Yeah. United we stand, divided we fall.
Baby. Oh, yes. Welcome back to all you fabulous listeners to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Well, you never know what's going to go down because, hey, let's face it, for some reason or other, incredible, awesome guests that you'd expect to hear on top radio stations wind up coming on the show. And also, you get all those wonderful people that basically have never been in front of a microphone in their life, but they have a very, very interesting story to tell and a way to tell it as well. Kind of like Muammar Gaddafi, who's just recently had his family in a residential neighborhood in a relatively large house bombed and assassinated, basically. And now it turns out that Libya is going to be the foothold in Africa because, after all, Gaddafi's been milking all those oil profits and built an airport for his people and advanced the whole region, built a massive canal for more shipping, and was doing deals with everybody all over the place. Was about to start trading oil for gold. So now, with their fabulous new airport so that they can launch airstrikes to the whole of Africa to take it over, it seems like NATO has decided to move in, after they're now bombing Tripoli, a city of 2 million people. In other news, our very special guest, Chris Maple, also joins us now via Skype from the former USSA. Chris, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Vinny, for having me. Excited to be here.
Very special. And also, you have somebody else there with you?
Yeah, I do. I have my my co-producer and director, Paul Wittenberger, who is the director of What in the World Are They Spraying? He's also the producer of that film as well. So he's joining us here. Say hi,
hello.
Paul.
Hello.
it's like a wee little family roundtable. Now, chemtrails and yourself, is there a connection, I wonder? Could you please divulge, Chris first and then Paul second, just a little bit about yourself, where you came from, and what got you into your particular field of activism?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, originally, you know, I'm from the greater Boston area. You're calling us now here in the greater Los Angeles region. A little bit about myself, you know, I was just your typical everyday guy who really never followed the media too closely, both politically and socially as well. Never really had the time for it. Too wrapped up in my own world and life, as is, I'd say, 90-something percent of the population out there today. As far as what got me involved on this quest, you know, it originally started, and I know we're going to go off pace here a little bit, but somebody pointed out Building 7 to me, Vinny. My dad being a firefighter in Boston, and I've got a lot of family members who are first responders. I lost a few friends over there in New York back in 2001. And like everybody else, I was ready to join the military, you know, just like, you know, Ronnie Tillman there. And it wasn't until a few years after 2001 that I started, you know, somebody pointed out Building 7 and said, hey, you ever, you know, recognize that third building that had dropped that day? And so I kind of dove into that a little bit, and that journey, that quest, that started the quest right there. And I would say about 5 years, 5-6 years, I've been just in my own time, you know, digging through, you know, mountains of evidence. And you know, I was really, really heavily into the 9/11, but I was looking for more of a broader picture. I wanted more answers. I wanted truth to everything. It's pretty evident to me what went on 9/11. It was that journey, that started there that took me here today to where we are. And you had mentioned chemtrails to me, and my partner here, Paul, who he's in the background right now running around setting cameras and microphones, and he's our director guru. So he and I befriended one another when I moved out to Los Angeles about 4 or 5 years back, and we from time to time would bounce ideas off one another and expose our findings to each other. And we always had this story that we wanted to tell. And he, along with Michael Murphy, I believe it was last year, released his film, What in the World Are They Spraying? And, you know, it was a few years prior to that that somebody had pointed out to us the lines in the sky. And I guess from there, you know, I couldn't take my eyes off the sky, I guess you could say.
It's always one thing leading to another whenever you approach any New World Order topic. There becomes, if you look hard enough, there becomes branches and fingerprints that go over everything. And in so doing, every conspiracy that happens anywhere in the world somehow connects us all in a roundabout kind of way.
You're absolutely right.
It's like the 33rd degree of separation.
Yeah, 6 degrees or something, right? You're talking Masonic now at the 33rd degree.
Oh, yeah, there's a juxtaposition pun there. Now, Paul, how did you work in the film industry prior to becoming a filmmaker that makes incredible films about the most important issues of mankind's history, or what?
Oh, well, thank you. That's very kind of you. I went to film school like 10 years ago, and then I moved out to L.A. and started doing lighting for a living. And I joined the union and did all that, and then I realized that it's not really what I wanted to do. And so that's when me and Mike and Ed hooked up together, and we made What in the World.
Well, so that's your first kind of foray into the thing. And of course, now, with the explosive success of the film, there are more projects and indeed this one right here currently underway. What's the title of this work now?
I'll answer that one for you, for Paul Vinny. He's running around with headphones on. It's The Great Culling, and that's C-U-L-L-I-N-G. And I don't know if you're familiar with the term.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I live in New Zealand, mate. Trust me. We know all about culling.
You know, you're familiar with
something like 40 sheep to the person.
Is that what they limit you guys at now, huh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I always thought that there was just 41 times as much sheep.
The sheeple. So it's The Great Culling, and and what we're really trying to look at here now is, because throughout What in the World Are They Spraying, I worked a little bit with Paul behind the scenes, and he kind of wanted me to get involved a little bit more, but at the time, Vinny, I wasn't ready to expose myself in that manner. It was just almost a hobby to me, something I did, you know, in my spare time, something I was extremely passionate about, as you can ask my wife. And then, you know, with the success of What in the World, and I saw how receptive, you know, the audience was, and it gave me that little push to take more of a role, I guess you could say. And while What in the World was being produced, Paul and I on the side had this idea. We started, you know, I started looking into, okay, well, what is the common denominator? What is being sprayed? You know, what is it that's being released? And as we know, as we found out through What in the World, it's, you know, aluminum, barium, these heavy metal particulates that were being released. In addition to that, we started to connect dots to the water. And this was one thing that kind of drove me nuts with the fluoride and the drinking water. And so I started doing research on, sodium fluoride and fluorosis and dental fluorosis and this sort of thing. And I realized that here we are again, looking into this topic, and we see that heavy metal particulates, I mean, fluoride is the byproduct of smelting in the metal companies, the metal industry, aluminum industry as well, as along with phosphate mining. So, and there was again this common denominator that we kept coming up was the metals, and you know, we began to look into the food industry, and here we're finding evidence of mercury traces being found in high fructose corn syrup. So it was, it took me a little bit, but once I started connecting dots and realizing that what is it about all these metals? What is the impact that it's having on us? And that really began the journey, you know. Did I lose you?
No, okay. I'm still paying active attention.
Okay, I'm sorry. I wasn't sure if the call dropped or not.
let me interject a question here. Please. Talking about the great culling, and it's pretty straightforward as far as my mind makes. The wealthiest families in the world have been the wealthiest families in the world for at least the last couple of hundred years. They've owned virtually everything in almost every major world event and whatnot that involve finance, war, or capitalism of some description. They've been involved in. And so basically now what's going to happen is they know that they own the world, and so what they want to do is just wipe out the rest of the people through every single means necessary, and by all means, it's going to be by every single mean, because, hey, if you look around you, everything's poisonous, everything's contaminated, everything's something that's going to kill you. Slowly, but surely. Death and taxes, and one does not preclude the other.
Right. It's funny you mention that these families, these global elites that mainstream media and society probably won't really look at it and admit to it. But you know, I've started following the money in most every industry, and as you mentioned, it pretty much leads to the same exact place time and time again. And I don't know if I should drop the name, but the name that kept coming up for me was the Rothschilds. Are you familiar with the family?
Yeah, they're my homeboys.
You too, huh?
And they deny their global elitism and they deny the eugenics campaigns. And I go, now come, Mr. Rothschild.
Well, if you look at these families, I mean, what is it that they don't control today? I mean, they have the politicians, they own the governments, you know, they own the mining industry, they, you know, the monetary systems, the IMF, the World Bank. Everybody answers back to this one particular family. I always thought it was the Rockefellers that owned America. But then you realize when I started doing research, you know, they were agents of the Rothschilds, as were the Warbugs and into the banking industry, when J.P. Morgan passed away, you know, he was thought to be one of the most richest men in America, if not the world. Come to find out, he only owned 12% of his company's fortune. The other 88% was held by the Rothschilds. And that's your Chase Manhattan Bank right now, which pretty much has gobbled up my bank recently.
Isn't it like a seething nest of anacondas that are swallowing each other's holes? So basically what you've got when you want to slay this one beast is you have to cut off 1,000 heads inside the one same beast.
That's right. Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
No, it's like a crusade, I've found. There really is now, once you learn about the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, eugenics, geopolitics, how... secretive roundtable groups like the Trilateral Commission or Council on Foreign Relations or Royal Institute of International Affairs, as it's known in the other Commonwealth nations, once you realize that they have all the power, they make all the decisions for you, and they just give you the ability to choose whether or not you want to be stabbed with a knife or a fork.
It's true. And, you know, and as I was saying, the only thing this group, these families, these elites do not have their hand on is what? The population, the number of us. And I think that's what this is all about. I mean, it's the one thing that they can't control, because they know if 1% of 1% of this population at close to 7 billion now, what a revolt. There's no standing army that could stop us.
Well, this is the thing. If you really did want to stage some description of a global takeover, you, like you say, the one thing standing in your way is the fact that there are enough people left to resist you.
Correct.
So therefore, the best form of warfare, if it's going to be covert, as we all know that the New World Order happens to be, they will stage a silent war against you, and they will use many, many techniques, whether it be making sure that the health and medical field is one of the leading killers in America, and third biggest cause of death in New Zealand, because as soon as you get some description of slightly life-threatening disease, instead of telling you to eat lots of raw vegetables and take some vitamin C, which will kill off pretty much dang near any virus or cancer, they pop you up on copious quantities of pharmaceutical drugs that make you feel like hell, and they give you another couple of pharmaceutical drugs to make you stabilize that, and then another couple to help you sleep at night.
Right.
And then a cup of coffee to wake you up in the morning.
Absolutely. It's a sick cycle. And it is, you know, because I looked, you know, into the medical industry in America, and you find out, you know, the Rockefellers were, you know, behind, you know, funding and getting that whole institution off the ground. And, you know, with this film, we're you know, we're speaking to some, I'd say some MDs. We've got some dentists as well. We have Dr. David Kennedy, who's given us an interview, and he spoke to the World Health Organization, and he's in, you know, speaking out against the fluoride, and you know, you got a real.
Oh, well, unfortunately. We've got to go to break. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. A very special guest from the Great Culling is Chris Maple and Paul Wittenberger, the film director of What in the World Are They Spraying? And we'll be right back after these short messages from our sponsors. Back in a moment.
Your own, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, for the times they are a-changing.
Oh yeah, they are. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, proudly broadcasting live on the American Freedom Radio Network on radio stations all across America and the world. We're joined now by Chris Maple, the maker of the documentary film The Great Culling, which is currently in production. Speaking of culling, when we talk about the economy, when we talk about the medical industry, first thing that always comes to mind is eugenics. you know, it's just like in some obscure way, every single economic policy links to eugenics. It's freaking hilarious.
I echo your sentiments. It's absolutely right. And you know, and that's kind of what prompted me to get off my tush and do something about this. Because, you know, you look at the mainstream media really won't touch these topics that you and I are discussing. And I just want to commend you, Vinny, for what it is that you're doing on your end and trying to wake everybody up. I guess it's really what I'm trying to do. Again, I'm just, you know, this isn't really my forte. This, you know, I'm a photographer by trade. My wife and I have a photography business. We shoot weddings. And you know, this is something that I just kind of over a couple of years of researching, and I just had enough, and I felt as though I had to do something. Enough thinking and just discussing it with friends. It's about time that the population knew what was going on. So,
well, you know, you reached that last straw, right? What was it that did it for you? Because for me, it was kind of getting abused by my boss and then being handed a whole lot of money.
Well, you know what kind of really opened my eyes, I think, was when I started researching the vaccinations. You know, and here in America, you know, I think the vaccine schedule is at 36 shots that the children are receiving now before the age of, what is it, 3 or 4?
52 before the age of 5 or something. You know, it's just out of control.
It is. And, you know, prior to 1983, we had a 10-shot schedule. And in 1983, the vaccination schedule here in America went from 10 to 36. And what really stuck in my mind was that in 1986, the vaccination courts were incepted. And I looked at that timeline and I said, wow, that was exactly 3 years after they increased the schedule. Well, then I started backtracking and looking through my notes, and I started to realize that, you know, the majority of children aren't diagnosed until they're around 3 years of age. Some a little earlier now, I'll grant them that, but, you know, it isn't until about 2 to 3 years of age where the actual label of the autistic spectrum disorder is placed on the children. So what I found fascinating about that is, you know, it was that three-year period right after the increase of the shots to 36 that we saw this vaccination court system that was established here. And you would think it would protect the injured. It didn't. What it protected was the manufacturers. That sent me off.
Okay. It's sort of like when you realize that there's a protective shield over people that is basically impenetrable, all-powerful. Then you're like, whoa, hold on a second. That is wrong. That is unaccountable. That is criminal. That is extortionate. Right? It's like the IRS on steroids.
Yeah, one way to put it. And, you know, and it wasn't until 1988, 2 years after that, that the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program was created. And that is when they started to look out for the injured. But first, they went after, you know, protecting the manufacturers under the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act. And, you know, it's got a nice little ring to it. You would think they were looking out for the kids, but they really weren't. It was a protection for the manufacturers of these vaccinations. And it wasn't for another couple of years before they decided to start to compensate the injured. And I think it was that. You know, and you look at the vaccinations, and there's a lot of controversy around those as well. And
I think that the vaccine industry is just like a total fraud, even from the very get-go. You know, all the diseases that were that came out with vaccinations against them, like polio and measles, mumps, rubella, etc., they were already in massive decline at the time that the vaccines were introduced. They dropped away almost to nothing. And then the vaccines got introduced, and they said, oh, look what we've done. We've gotten rid of all these diseases.
Yeah.
Aren't we wizards of the bloodstream?
That's crazy. I mean, and they are. They're taking all the credit for it as well. But, you know, the deeper you look, you know, you have the preservative thimerosal, the controversial preservative in these vaccinations, never mind the other ingredients that are in them. You'd be sick if you learned. And again, it's the mercury particulate in those. And, you know, you listen to these moms and these parents who take their children to get, you know, to go get vaccinated. You know, and whenever they question their doctors, they're being ridiculed or, it's just not right, you know. And you look at these children who are getting 2 and 3 and 4 shots in a day, and that's really when we're finding the kids aren't coming home the same. You know, they're losing the eye contact, and their verbal ability it goes into decline. So it's really scary to me to think that, you know, that our children basically are under attack, as are we.
It's scary to suddenly like realize that, hey, I've been under attack my whole life.
Yeah,
and I never noticed.
That's right. And I'm hoping that, you know, that's the one thing we want to show in this film, The Great Culling, is to show that, hey, look, this has been going on for quite some time. This isn't a new thing. This isn't just a conspiracy theory. Somebody in his basement drumming up these ideas. The evidence is there.
You can't make this stuff up, man.
You're absolutely right. You know, and I feel like I just want to shake everybody that you talk to, because, you know, I try to explain it like this to people. Imagine you're walking down the street with your best friend. You look up into the sky, and you see a UFO hovering above your heads. Now, you turn to your friend, and you say, oh, my God, look up. There's a UFO above us. And not only won't he look, excuse me, not only he doesn't believe you, but he won't even look up to see himself. So that's why, you know, and just think of the, you know, the urgency. You just want to shake these people and say, listen, the evidence is there. You just got to do a little research. You just got to look into it. And once you do, there's no going back. And I, you know, and that's kind of what got me started.
Well, you know, it's, they talk about the red pill, pass the red pills, please. You know, one thing that really disturbs me is how many people knowingly pick the blue pill. They hear something that you say, and they literally tell you, don't tell me about that kind of stuff because I'm happy being ignorant. Right. I've actually had someone say this to me.
Yeah, no, I believe it. And you hear
now, this is the aspect that I really want to expand on. You talked about how you wanted to kind of like shake people and that kind of thing. Now, that's out of frustration, isn't it? Is that the real trauma that we suffer when we're trying to save these people? Is that they're like the willfully ignorant lamb walking into the slaughterhouse and you're trying to slap them around and go, look, they're going to kill you in there, man. Turn around. What are you doing? And they keep walking. And then you wind up seeing them served up on somebody's dinner plate later and you're like, at least I tried.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's just what it is. You know, once you can realize and grasp what has been going on, you know, that's one thing. But now let's look ahead to the future. Where are they going with all this? We're going to end up at the rate we're going. You know, the rate of autism, according to the CDC here in America, and I think this was like 2 years ago, is one in every 110. In California alone, it's one in every 50-something. So now let's just start doing the math. Who's going to care for all these children, these autistic adults that are going to grow up? And not only that, on the other end of the spectrum, we have Alzheimer's on the rise, and we can correlate that directly to the aluminum. It's these heavy metals. What we're learning in our quest, Vinny, is the metals, is what it is doing is wearing down the myelin sheath. And what that does, it's like insulation on our nervous systems and anything within our bodies, and it's disrupting the connections. And that's kind of where it sunk in with me as I started realizing that, you know, these metals were at the root of a lot of injuries and the cause of a lot of problems. I started digging into, all right, well, what is it doing to us neurologically? You know, and the aluminum is one of the few that can bypass the blood-brain barrier and wreak havoc on the mind. And you know, and they're correlating that right with Alzheimer's. So, you know, it's just alarming to me that nobody does want to look at it because, you know, people today are just, you know, socially.
Chris, are you there? Oh, unfortunately, we seem to have lost him. Unfortunately. Well, yeah. Oh, you're back, Chris. Okay. Could you repeat that, please?
Yeah, sure.
I want to take us on a tangent here, actually.
Yeah.
Is the Fukushima nuclear reactor going to feature in your film, The Great Culling? Because at the moment, massive kill-off effect, something like 10 tons of radiated water just got put into the Pacific Ocean yesterday, and they keep doing this. And incidentally, all radiation detectors owned by the U.S. government have been turned off. And Lorraine Murray, one of the leading scientists in the radioactive field, whatnot, because, of course, now if you go to any field in the United States, yes, it is radioactive. that the northern west coast of America is running 16,000% above normal. Uh-huh. And there's somewhat of a major exodus from people exiting Japan to go to Australia. So, okay. You know, this is, and incidentally, and this is where it comes back to, this, I love it how in the end everything comes back to the beginning, Do you know what all that radioactive fallout turns into after it's been in the atmosphere a while? Barium and strontium.
There you go. And it wreaks havoc on our immune systems. It's, you know, and I echo your sentiments because, that, you know, when I realized, you know, General Electric was the corporation that manufactures all these nuclear plants. And, I mean, what is a nuclear plant? It's a steam engine. It's a toxic steam engine. You've got the oldest technology coupled with the most toxic technology you can imagine, and it kills people. And what a great idea, right? Just let these things, you know, crumble and fall apart. I think they only have shelf lives of 40 to 60 years. And every one of them, we have 104 of them here built in America, and they're all right at that limit. And we could just get a couple more earthquakes going and just let Mother Nature in these reactors could call the population for them without them so much as pulling a trigger or doing anything. Just say, oops, now we need to rethink our energy crisis.
That's why I love New Zealand. We're nuclear free, apart from all the massive amounts of ionizing radiation that comes out of every single electronic device and all the cancer-causing particulates and barium that are in the water supply because they use radioactive fluoride to fluoridate it.
Yeah, gosh. So you guys are
That's nuclear free. That's nuclear free, bro.
Oh, you have to find the humor in it, huh, Vinny?
You don't laugh, you cry.
Yeah, I hear you there. And, my wife says to me, she's, you know, why do you want to know all this stuff? Why do you want to dig into this? And I said, you know, it doesn't put me in a place of fear whatsoever. You know, and I think that's one thing we want to stress with this film. This isn't, yes, it is alarming, and yes, it needs to be taken serious, but it can be enlightening, I think. And it is to me to know, just to know the truth. I just want to know the truth.
What is the point in not wanting to know the truth is my question, because a lot of people really do, in fact, choose. And I always say that it's not their fault, though. I mean, it's not their fault that the Rockefellers and Rothschilds funded the Carnegie Institute and Edward Bernays, and they got psychologists highly paid and highly trained at all the top universities to come up with all these psychological models and psyops that they can run on the public to gradually make people act and behave how they want. So they basically control the average human being, not entirely different to the way the average human being controls a car. Right. You know, so, you know, we can't blame the people who haven't woken up yet, because they follow their leaders much like a sheep follows a shepherd. And so merely the solution is we need to pose as the shepherds and get the sheep to follow somebody who will lead them to greener pastures rather than the slaughterhouse. You know, there was the old Bernaysian propaganda technique, is that you don't need to convince the public of jack nothing. All you need to do is convince the people that the public trusts, like doctors, lawyers, politicians, etc.
And that's pretty much where we are right now. You know, I mean, you can't even get mad at the, you know, you want to get mad at the medical institution and that whole industry. But you got to realize these doctors, these physicians, everybody's just regurgitating what they were taught. And another thing, you know, and I looked into all right, what are these guys learning, and who's writing the books? And, you know, you mentioned the Carnegie Institute and the Rockefellers, and again, it all leads back to the same place. Nutrition is an elective. You know, if you're studying to be a doctor.
We'll be right back, folks. To control for you and kill all your children because I'm psychotic. I'm the New World Order. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, the lighter side of genocide, and incidentally the CIA's newest informant. Now my very special guest, Chris Maple, and joins us from the former USSA. Welcome back from break.
Thank you, Vinny.
Now, we were getting into the medical establishment. We were talking about the how nutrition itself is an elected when doctors get educated.
That's right. That's right. It's something that's not even taught. I mean, it's just a quick elective whether they want to take it or not. And that's alarming. I mean, aren't we what we are what we eat, from what I was taught? I mean, you would think that that would be the forefront. But again, when you have corporations, big pharma, who, you know, these doctors pretty much answer to and write their checks, I guess you could say, you're left with a physician who's quicker with the pen in writing prescriptions. And we know where that goes.
Yeah, you get a whole bunch of limp-wristed doctors. It just sickens me, really, is because, you know, this kind of, I'm sure you know the stereotype, and you know, why are stereotypes a stereotype? Because they exist, okay? An effeminate doctor who looks down on you like you're scum, filth, you don't know what you're talking about, and acts totally arrogantly and rolls their eyes in your head whenever you start asking proper questions.
Yeah, that's right. It's a shame, too.
It is, because, you know, you can be allies with these people. You know, they're an intelligent person, obviously. There's nothing really that we've got particularly against each other. It's just the fact that they've been lied to, and they've been lied to very well under an oppressive learning condition where they're in competition with the other doctors and not in collaboration, so they don't know how to work together, and it's all about me, getting to the top, having no sleep, and total thing. It's like basic training, boot camp. Really, they just oppress your will right the F out of you.
That's right. I mean, and that's I think that was their goal from the beginning. You know, it's who's really going to question their medical, their physicians? You know, that's who you're supposed to trust, and with your health, and what's more important than your health? And it's just a shame that what we're learning throughout this quest, our film, Great Culling, is that they are just as in the dark as the majority of the population when it comes to these matters and these issues.
Yeah. I mean, the medical industry puts the hell in healthcare. You know, it's basically just this big satanic torture cult. You know, I'm not afraid to say that, because let's look at the facts on this one. Have a look at the history of psychiatry. What did they do to all those mental patients in Bedlam and in old England? Oh yeah, that's right. They dunked them into baths of freezing cold water. They locked them in coffins and buried them and then uncovered them. They ripped them apart with the rack and stuff like that. Okay, these are torturous monster lunatics who are playing God. Okay, now, I'm not bagging the whole medical profession or the whole of the psychiatric industry with this, but those are the people who created the industry, and invariably a large amount of the people that wind up getting through this type of training process wind up with a particular mindset, which is what produces these type of stereotypical, powerful sociopaths who will do anything for a trip to Fiji.
Yeah, it's true. It really is. And, you know, and what we hope to expose in this film is just that there, you know, that, and one thing we're finding in this film too, Vinny, which is kind of alarming, is, you know, typically these physicians who we approach, not too many are willing to discuss these topics. Only once they're retired, they'll tell you everything you want to know. And that's just even, you know, sickens me a little bit more, is that a lot of them just may be aware of what it is they're doing, but they don't want to rock the boat. They, you know, they have to look out for themselves, their family, their finances, whatever you want to call it. It's not until they're in their retirement stage that, you know, they'll come forward with these truths.
But by then, it is already too late.
That's right. We're learning that.
This is why people need to have a sense of responsibility. This is why people need to be held accountable. This is why people need to raise their kids properly, to have discipline, moral, ethic, not to lie, not to sell out, not to cheat people, okay? Not to hurt people. there is a very good reason why parents taught their children those kind of principles. Because otherwise, you get criminal psychopaths who don't give a flying F about any form of life running the whole place and having inordinate amounts of power and the ability to take life and liberty away from people without any freaking oversight, okay? Founding fathers knew that democracy would be a very, very dangerous thing, which is why they stipulated very specifically that they didn't want a democracy, they wanted a republic. Because in a democracy, hey, whoever has the biggest media campaign to convince a 51% of the population wins. So that means the wealthiest scumbags wind up getting elected in a democracy full of poor people who get made incredibly destitute every election, progressively.
Absolutely. And if you think it's bad now, it's going to get a lot worse. We just had a Supreme Court ruling in January, which gives the corporations the same, if not more, rights as individuals now. So if you thought it, if you think it's been bad, it's going to get a lot worse. It's going to kick into high gear.
Yeah. I mean, the corporations don't have a soul. Now they have a Holy Spirit.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. And it's, you know, you look at these politicians, and unfortunately, you're right. They're not looking out for you or I or the people. It's not about the people anymore. It's about these entities that are created, these corporations that hold no liability.
Well, we're getting steps towards police being immune. I mean, you know how it's all one step, two step, three step with these people. They'll pass a little law to erode your liberties or to give less accountability to a particular force. You know, one step at a time. Well, right. We've just had a law passed that means that any police officer, even if they're off duty, not in uniform, if they get hit or smacked or anything like that, it counts as assaulting a police officer. So it means that person has the power of a police officer even when they're off duty.
Well, great.
Right? It means that basically they're above being a normal citizen. Basically, when you're a police officer, basically, the law no longer applies to you because you have discretion.
That's right.
And police use discretion on each other all the time. But you get one little 16-year-old or 18-year-old kid who's smoking a joint in the park. Oh, boy, we need to slam him to the ground and put the boot down on his neck. Spray him in the face. Look, he's waving that joint at us. Spray him in the face with the mace. Tase him. Tase him. He's wriggling. He's trying to get away.
Yeah.
I just saw a video, right, of these two thug cops grab a guy out of a wheelchair and slam him viciously on the pavement, okay? And there was blood from his face all over the pavement. And the people around these police officers just stood there.
Wow, yeah.
It was so horrifying, man. And it reminds me, though, of what I actually wanted to see happen. Was there was a soccer game out in, I think it might have been South America or Portugal, somewhere, where a guy ran onto the field, you know, one of the crowd members, and he got down on the ground, you know, the security got him, and then the security started hitting him while he was down on the ground, and then one of the soccer players came over and did a flying kick at him. And then all of a sudden all the other soccer players came in, and all of a sudden all these cops were like, uh-oh, we got a real problem on our hands, as all the crowd started surging in on them. And it was like, yeah, boy, that's what should have happened. But instead, you saw a man taken out of his wheelchair, slammed to the ground, and bleed from the face while everybody looks on and is speechless.
Right. It's, you know,
that's the difference between America and other countries, is that Americans have been so well brainwashed, so well contaminated, are their water supplies, air supplies, food supplies, etc., etc., etc. Everything is sick and contaminated in America in this day and age. And information, I think, is the cure.
It is. And, you know, one thing I'd like to say, too, is, you know, a lot of people might, you know, the argument a lot of people like to make is, well, you know, maybe this wasn't intentional, you know, it's just that it's, you know, the technology they had at the time and they don't know how to correct it. It's going to cost too much money to fix this or that, or so they just kind of keep things at status quo. I find that hard to believe, because what we're finding is deceit running through all of it, cover-ups and, I mean, you name it, just to keep things going the way they're going.
Basically, if you were to apply a Hollywood intrigue movie that involves high levels of government and some description of grand conspiracy to overthrow the United States and to take over the world, etc., and you apply it to the real world, it's basically a match. Where do you think Hollywood gets these ideas from? You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guests, Chris Maple and Paul Wittenberger, from The Great Culling. And you can check that out on Facebook there. And we also have them staying fabulously for another hour, which is grand. Because when we talk about the New World Order, when we talk about filmmaking, when we talk about the spreading of information, know that it is the most powerful weapon in our arsenal.
In the belly of the vulture, watch your back. There's no civilians, women, children, frontline, listen. Consider this a distant early warning. The fire's imminent, pollution gathering dust particles funneling through smokestacks, airwaves, bandwidth, disinformation to fed. Check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses.
And we're back. Hour number two. Welcome back to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide, broadcasting live from the future, live from the island-chained nation, the fluoride-head capital, Auckland, New Zealand. My very special guest, Chris Maple from The Great Culling, which you can check out on Facebook, joins me today for the whole 2 hours. Chris, welcome back from break.
Thanks, Vinny. Good to be back. And I want to also mention, you know, we also have a website that we've put up. It's maybe we can make a plug for that, if you don't mind. It's thegreatculling.org, O-R-G. So if any of your fans want to go on there and take a look at what it is we've done thus far and where we're headed with this film.
And there's a trailer there, right?
Yeah, well, the trailer we're expecting to release in the next couple of weeks. With Paul, my director, is just putting some finishing touches on that. We have a pretty big interview coming up tomorrow, and we're hoping to get that into the trailer. That is, we got an interview with the Carnicom Institution, so we're really excited about that. And I hope I don't jinx it by saying it, because we haven't had the interview yet. That's tomorrow, so we definitely want to get that in there, into the trailer. So yeah, with
what
the next
is what is the Carnicom Institute, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, yeah, it's I don't know if are you familiar with Clifford Carnicom?
Nope.
No, okay. Clifford Carnicom, he is he's done quite a bit of research into the geoengineering, the aerosol spraying, that the chemtrails that you see. He's the front runner in that. He's been doing research in that field, I would say, for at least close to 10 years. He's an expert in the field. He's put a movie out of himself. I believe it was Aerosol Crimes he did a few years back. It's a great piece, very informative. And he just breaks it down, what's going on above our heads. He's a hard gentleman to get in touch with. He doesn't like to really to talk too much to anybody, but we approached him with our project, and took him a while to get back to us, but he eventually did, and his organization is really excited about this film, The Great Culling. that Paul and I are putting together, and they are excited to be a part of it, which in turn makes us excited to get that word out. So,
when do you expect to release the film?
Our anticipated date is the end of this year, December of 2011.
Oh, nice. So just before we hit 2012, that'll be nice to talk about The Great Culling.
Yeah.
Three apps.
What do you think about the 2012? What do you think that's all about?
Well, I got a couple of takes on it. It could either, A1, it's the Bible prophesies return of the destroyer, and this big planetoid is going to come back into our system after looping around out in the galaxy for somewhat period of time. The gravity well's going to tip the Earth on its axis by about 23 degrees. A crack will go around the Earth, and all the aquifers and magma chambers will open up, and it'll be fire and water and tidal waves as high as the Empire State Building ringing around the Earth in about like 8 minutes or something. Second take is, it's all just a massive psyop that the New World Order's pulling off so that everybody will be concerned about the end of the world, when in actual fact what's happening is they're just staging a fake kind of psyop so to distract everybody while they steal all the remaining resources and power so that they have total dominance forever. And the third take that I have is that it's just nothing. It's a non-event. The Mayan calendar is a circle for a reason. As soon as you pass one point, it just keeps going round again. Just like as soon as you get to December 31st, hey, there's January 1st right beside it. But there's no real patent difference between either of those days. It's just a particular point on the calendar that you've passed that for some reason people think is incredibly significant. Now, alignments and all of that, they are said by some ancient cultures, is my understanding, that planetary alignments are foreshadow times of great earthquake activity and such like that. And there's some evidence for that. For example, when the moon goes around the Earth, it actually pulls the oceans with it, and also the liquid rock underneath the oceans and the surface of the Earth comes around in a hump just like the tides do as well, and it can be it can affect or be one of many factors to affect earthquakes. So there is an argument for each of them, but personally I think it's just one big F off psyop to get everybody to stand down.
I think it's a perfect opportunity for them, you know, the New World Order to make a chess move, you know, and I think you're absolutely right. And I think that coupled with HAARP, and, you know, we're seeing these massive tornadoes here in America. I don't know if you've heard of those. It's killer tornadoes, miles wide. You know, we have all this volcanic activity and Greenland and beyond. And if you look at it, I mean, you know, we really are seismically experiencing some changes, and it's just kind of coinciding right with that calendar. And it's interesting to me because I wonder how much of it is natural and how much of it is has a hidden hand behind it.
Well, you know it's strange because, like, almost every single major earthquake that hits a major urban area, predictions and analysis come out virtually the same day saying, hey, look, there is a hidden hand here. Sorry. And the problem then becomes not how many of them are actually hidden-handed or whatever, but more to the point, what do you do about it when they are?
Right.
Yeah, you know, well, because that's a much harder question to answer, because you're talking about people who quite literally have the power of God. How do you fight an enemy like that? And this is another part that I thought would be an interesting tangent to put in the film, is to the point where modern weapons technology is, scalar weaponry, HARP, biological virus studying, and all of these other myriad of ways that the military has been doing research on for goodness knows how long, to kill people, large amounts of people, specific kinds of people, race-specific bioweapons.
Yeah,
they can even target your biometric DNA fingerprint by satellite and target you with weapon systems.
It's just amazing. You know, you look at the and it's evident too all around us. I mean, where is the money going? You know, more money going into the military here and less going into education, and you know, even clean energy, they cut the budget on that. So basically what they're telling us is this slippery, oily road we're on, this path, we're going to continue down it. And it's unfortunate because, you know, really the corporations behind, you know, the strangleholding the governments, and you know, the people are left to suffer the consequences.
Well, you know, you can't live on credit, basically. And what each generation subsequent to ours has done is stand on their own two feet and work hard to get what they've got, to save, okay? It means that everything that they have, they earned. So they understand the responsibility they have to protect it against theft or whatever, because they've got a particular attachment to things like their family, their home, their car, their country, etc. When you have that kind of attachment to an idea or an object, you become much more protective, obviously. And because people haven't had to work for a lot of stuff, because we've had it so freaking easy for so long. If you want a house, boom, here's a house from Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. It's only copious quantities of interest that you'll never be able to pay off and be foreclosed on and get kicked out later on and collapse the entire global economy around you, but it's okay.
Everybody's doing it.
Yeah, everybody's doing it. Let's go to the casino, man. Let's go to Vegas. Let's take out a $100,000 loan and blow it in a weekend in Vegas, okay? That is the equivalent stupidity and fiscal irresponsibility that the average person would have to make. Oh, no, in fact, let's take out a $3 million loan and do it. That's how much irresponsibility the average person would have to make in order to just come equal with how much financial wastage and spending just with the first bailout kind of thing. And let alone the trillions upon trillions of dollars. There's something like a $200 trillion debt for the U.S. Populace at the moment on their backs. And receivership, baby. Isn't it fabulous? Eminent domain.
Right for the picking, this country is. You know, we got the North American Union on the horizon. Do we not? With the Amero?
Well, the thing is, I haven't heard anything terribly new coming out of that, because I think it was, I honestly don't know, but I haven't heard much about it since a few years back when the Trans-Texas Corridor had a whole huge bunch of protests about it. I mean, was it beaten or what?
It's a good question. I'm not quite sure exactly, but...
yeah, well, if there's anybody who knows what the heck is going on with the North American Union and the Amero and all of that kind of stuff, we really need to know about it, because, you know, the U.S. is going to be basically put into receivership. I mean, it looks pretty obvious, unless, of course... this is like a long shot from where I'm sitting. A president of the United States gets elected that isn't beholden to bankers. which I'd probably wager is effing impossible.
Oh, my gosh. You know, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
You know, and again, it's about a mass awakening. I mean, it's what needs to happen. It's what prompted a regular guy like me to get off my butt and do something. what it is we're doing. We just want to expose fluoride, chemtrails, vaccines. You got the high fructose corn syrup containing mercury. You know, you got this resonation of metals. That's, as you mentioned earlier in the show, everything around us is toxic. I mean, from you know, whatever, as far as plastics, the way things are manufactured. You know, we're just completely surrounded by it, and again, it's by design, and this is what's important, and this is what people need to understand. This is not by accident. This isn't just by chance. This was a much bigger, grander idea that has been in place for quite some time now, and we're getting close. We're getting close to, I think, to the, you know, to the end of their grand plan, as you have it.
Their end game, in other words, it's like, okay, well, let's jump forward on that particular issue then, shall we? What is the end game for them now? I mean, how many of us are going to be left, and what kind of conditions are we going to be made to be left under if left unchecked?
Right. Well, let's look at what was carved in stone in Georgia back in 1972 or one. Are you familiar with the Georgia Guidestones?
I'm familiar with them. I didn't know that they were erected so recently, though.
Yeah, it was back in the early 70s, and, you know, they're all...
Is that around the time of Helter Skelter and Charles Manson, by chance?
Yeah, it actually is, isn't it? My gosh, it is. But, I mean, that number one commandment, written in 8 different languages, is maintain, you know, humanity at 500 million. And, you know, you look at, you know, David Rockefeller giving, you know, speeches to the Council on Foreign Relations on population control. You have corporations bidding on population control. You have Ted Turner making statements about, you know, we need to take the population down by 95%. It's going to be a massive amount. And I'm just curious as to, you know, these chemtrails, what we see above our head, the increase of the vaccinations, and, you know, it just seems like we're in high gear now. This ideology, this idea of this global government, this one world order, is not a new idea. It's just we're all now awakening to it, and it's new to us.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me of something that David Icke said, is that we already are born endowed with all the knowledge of the universe, so that when we learn something, we're not actually learning something. We're simply remembering something that we already know that's been locked away in our DNA. and I was kind of like thinking of that as a philosophical point of view rather than being literal. And it's like there is something innate within us that when we see what is truly going on, it is a shock to the system that kind of bypasses all rational thought. It bypasses everything, and it cuts straight to the chase. You know, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, what are you going to do about it? And that's the question. And that's what the question I want to kind of pose to everybody who can hear my voice is, what are you going to do about it? I mean, I know what I'm doing. I'm trying to do my part, I guess I could say. You know, I just recently got married, Vinya. You know, I'm looking into having a family, and this is all concerning to me, and it should be to everybody. And you know, it's just a matter of enough is enough, and how I basically myself have to be pushed back into a corner to speak up for myself, and I feel as though I'm there. I'm in that corner, now I'm coming out swinging, you know, and hopefully I can have an impact socially on people, if anything, just to acknowledge and wake up and take a look at the evidence that's out there, because before you know it, that evidence is not going to be there much longer with the way they're going after the internet. That's the next big frontier for them to conquer. And it's going to be even harder to dig this stuff up. And, it, you know, and over the years, I've watched the internet evolve, and it's difficult to find what you're looking for these days. It's almost like there's something out there fighting against you. It's crazy.
Okay. Well, let's think about the internet and what freedom really means. Freedom is freedom to access information. Freedom is freedom to move. And when you're stuck at home and you've got nothing but an internet connection, you have the frickin' world at your fingertips. Okay? You have all the knowledge, all the information, all the scientific know-how available to you right here, right now. You can figure out exactly what's going on and exactly how to beat it.
Yeah, yeah, and no one like me, yeah, yeah, yeah. Congratulations, you made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo.
Yeah,
but I'm here now. So what you wanna do? How many dudes you really know? And flow like this, like this, like this. Let's do it. How many dudes you know vote like this? How many dudes you know flow like this? Not many, if any, not many, if any. How many dudes you know got skills to go and rock a show, like,
show
this?
Like this? I don't know anybody. Listen, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, broadcasting at fabulous little radio stations all over America. And I was looking at it, and we're particularly popular in the East Coast, as it turns out, which is quite nice, quite lovely. You know, shout out to everybody in the Mid-East or Midwest or however the F you've managed to divide up the country into time zones, because in New Zealand, we're one small little crappy flea on an elephant's ass down here in the South Pacific. We've only got one time zone for the whole country. You know, which is great, because New Zealand's like one of the most insignificant, powerless, and pathetic, and certainly, in my opinion, one of the most corrupt, infested with incestuous, swangling swine that you could ever conceive of. And I was kind of thinking, we get into these conversations, you know, when other people, you talk to them, they know about roughly the same amount about the New World Order as you do, and you're kind of on the same page, right? And you get to the point in the conversation where you're like, okay, well, each of us knows what each other knows, so what can we find out collectively that we haven't done already? What can we do together that we haven't done? I think that it's like when you take that next step, when you put an idea to paper, an idea to audio, an idea to film, that's when the collaborative spirit really comes out. And I think humans are collaborative by nature. We naturally want to help other people. We naturally want to have a part in big, awesome projects that are fun to do. You know, we naturally want all that. But there's an unnatural brainwashing mind pattern out there that makes people believe that doing all that kind of things, all those sorts of things, are risky, are dangerous, can threaten your career and whatnot, as opposed to thinking of it as liberating and creative and inspiring. You know, I presume that you've encountered this exact same phenomenon, because we live in a new world order already, as far as I'm concerned, but the information has gotten out, and so it's only a matter of time before this new world order system comes crashing down. Because they've conditioned everybody in the same way, basically, we'll all react in very much the same way, sort of thing. And it's only a matter of time before everybody starts waking up, making documentaries, making radio shows, writing articles, putting up websites, protesting, ambushing their prime minister with a camera, etc., etc., etc. There's a myriad of ways to take down the establishment, and I believe that independent media, and believe me, you don't need one skerrick of training in order to be a journalist, because all these journalists in the world today who have all the training in the world can't even connect the dots on simple, elementary matters. It's almost as if what's between their ears is a rudimentary, educated, regurgitated sludge. And it's just not good enough. So, being a completely untalented person simply with an idea to go out with a camera and start making films, you will accomplish probably a lot more, if your aim is to make films about the truth, of course, than any amount of pathetic slime journalists who'll be working for the same scumbag news corporation for the best part of their career.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, again, I'm not a professional reporter myself. As I stated, you know, I'm just a photographer who's on a mission, a quest for truth. I, along with Paul, who's stepped up to the mic here with me. Say hello, Paul, to everybody.
Yes, thank you, Vinny, for having us on your show. Chris and I have been working nonstop since November trying to get this new film done. It's called The Great Calling. You can check it out at thegreatcalling.org. And we have a bunch of production stills up there from all of our different interviews. Rosalind Pearson was one of our great interviews we're really proud to say that she came on and she's supporting us. And I can't wait for you guys to see it. The trailer will be up real soon, hopefully within the next couple of weeks. We got a big interview tomorrow that we've been waiting to add on to the trailer. And I think everyone will be really excited.
By chance, do you have a list there of the people you're planning to interview?
Well, planning?
Or already have.
Yeah, we have Dr. David Kennedy. He's a retired dentist. He's he's addressed the World Health Organization. He's done research all over the world as far as his forte is fluoride. He's speaking out against that. We also have Dr. James E. Rhoda, who is a biological dentist, holistic dentist here in Los Angeles. Again, he's speaking out against mercury fillings. In addition to that, he's also addressing his concerns with the fluoride in the drinking water as well. What else do we have? We have Rosalind Pearson, who is the president of the California Sky Watch.
The Agricultural Defense Coalition.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And, you know, she's addressing her concerns with not only what's going on in the air and getting into our lungs and water, but what it's really doing, as you mentioned, to the agriculture, how our topsoil, our pH levels are way off. We have trees that are dying. You know, you look at these aluminums, they're accelerants. They're highly, highly flammable. And you look at, you know, these forest fires that are going off lately, especially here in California where we are, they're rampant. And, you know, I spoke to a couple of firefighters and they said I've never seen anything like it, you know, these fires that are going off. And it might have something to do, I'm thinking, with the amounts of aluminum that are coating everything. In addition to that, we also have Lauren Fader. She's a doctor, right? And she's a vaccination expert. She's written a couple of books, and one of the books is a Parents' Conscious Guide to Childhood Vaccination. So we dug into her mind a little bit about what's going on with these vaccinations. Are they helpful or are they not? You know, she states that, you know, they don't recommend not vaccinating. She says that, but if you're going to vaccinate, spread your schedule out. Do not do multiple shots in one day. Request mercury-free vaccinations. You know, you got to speak up a little bit. The parents need to take a foothold here and take on more responsibilities, unfortunately, because as you and I mentioned, the medical industry is not doing it. They're not looking into it. We also have Dr. Charlie Getchell. He's a PhD in organic chemistry. He gets into our food segment. So what this film is going to touch, what we're trying to expose here and in this film is how the food, the air, and the water are basic essentials for life are under attack, really. We also
it doesn't become any more stark than that. And you know, as a filmmaker, Paul, I mean, what's it like actually trying to tell a story like this?
Well, it's hard, especially, you know, people are not very receptive of this message. I've been finding that more and more people are becoming receptive, but it's a challenge every day. And I think the only way to get into people's minds is through media and film. And it seems like people don't know how to do anything unless it's they're watching it on television.
Do you think that in the activist movements and filmmakers, they expect too much change to happen when they release their works and they want it all to happen now and get some frustrated? Does that happen to you at all?
Yeah. I mean, for sure, it's definitely frustrating. But what you just got to keep plugging on, and you know, as long as you know what you're saying is true, and you. I don't have a problem talking what I believe, you know?
Yeah, and as long as the evidence is there, and which it is. And, you know, and you mentioned people being receptive. That's a tricky one there, because a lot of people, you know, once I might get somebody's ear and they start to look at some evidence and they start realizing and connecting their own dots, because I tell people all the time, don't take my word for it. Do a little research. Put down the fantasy football for a minute, okay? Put down these fantasy leagues. I mean, that drives me nuts. How much time is wasted with these fantasy sports? And I'm sorry for all the guys out there. I play a lot of sports. I play hockey. I don't watch it. I play it. I play football. I go to the park almost 2-3 times a week, and I play baseball. I don't sit in front of a television to watch these things. And more importantly, I'm not going to make up a fantasy league in my head. How much time and energy does that divert all of us? And I really think that's the goal behind all of these media outlets, and is it's just a big old distraction to keep people distracted from focusing on what really is going on. You know, and another concern a lot of people have, Vinny, you know, when I start talking is, well, what am I going to do? What can one person do? That's a big one that comes up. And, you know, and I simply tell them, you know, it's, you know, you don't, it's not necessarily running out and grabbing a camera and getting on your soapbox and doing that. You really don't have to do anything but look at the evidence. Be aware. It's a higher state of consciousness we all need to be in. And, you know, on the atomic level, we're all vibrations, all right? We're electrons, neutrons, everybody's vibrating, the law of vibration, you know, the planet, everything physical around us is basically energy. You know, Nikola Tesla taught us a lot there. And as you know, you and I are having this conversation via, you know, electrical outlets here and media through the computer and across the world, it's the same mechanics as our mind. And, you know, we have a thought to speak, you know, that's an electrical current. And it's not just staying within our physical bodies, it escapes through the universe. So what I tell people is, you know, it's just a matter of awareness. Once you've done the research, you know, you finally accept what's going on, that's all it's going to require. Because once we have the majority of the population vibrating on the same level, that's when change will come, I think, personally.
Yeah, it's like the truth is actually quite simple when you really think about it. It's just that there's all these there's these tangents and facets to it. For example, is evil good? No, evil's not good, therefore resist it. But what is the evil? How is it striking against you? Which people are in its clutches? Those are all the complications that I feel are kind of secondary to simply being aware that they're currently in control. You know what I'm saying? And the reason for these distractions, I believe, is that you talked about fantasy football, and everybody who watches football or in New Zealand, you know, in this case would be drinking rugby, be drinking heck of a lot of alcohol, man. And seriously, you don't feel that your time is being wasted when you're wasted all the time.
Yeah, right. Absolutely right. And again, I don't want to, excuse me, you know, put, pardon me. Put down anybody out there who, you know, are involved in fantasy leagues or, you know, or fixated on American Idol is another one that kind of makes my skin crawl. with everything that's going on in the world today, it's just a matter of prioritizing what's important to you. You have a family, you have kids. Well, you know, what should be on your what should be at number one on your priority list? You know, should it be these distractions that we speak about? Are you really concerned about your children's health? And that's another thing. I'm a firm believer that, you know, it's innate. We're all want the best for our families and our children. Help but not want that. It's just a matter of being educated and stepping outside of yourself and looking back in and saying, look, is this what really is going on here? Is there truth to any of this? Why do we continue to go down the paths we continue to go down when we know it's clearly not working? You know, you can look at the majority of industries. You know, I saw a great little documentary that Ben Stein put out. It was called Expelled. And, you know, what it looked at was the scientific community and how, you know, there's a challenge between the law of the theory of evolution versus intelligent design. And a lot of these scientists are, you know, coming to the forefront and speaking out against the theory of evolution, saying that they can't calculate their answers based on these old theories and that there's got to be another source. Well, the moral of the story is that any of these these scientists that go to speak out against the mainstream science and whatnot, they're being removed from their positions. They're being expelled from their jobs, never to be hired again in their industries. And that's really what his movie focused on. But the one question I had with that entire film is, wow, who has the authority? Who has the hand over science? Who has the power to steer science?
Who indeed? You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
What is about? There's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Oh yeah! It's happened before, and it will happen again. There's always some description of a person, family, group, lusting after power, control, and dominance that has total contempt for any form of freedom or independence. And it's all just a little bit of history repeating, ladies and gentlemen. Fear not, for this is nothing new. Man has always had the capacity to destroy himself. It's just that now he has the technology to finish the job. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, going out on AM, FM stations all across the fabulous USSA. And my very special guests, filmmakers from The Culling, Chris Maple and Paul Wittenberger. And Paul, crossing to you, and I'll put you in the hot seat here. As a filmmaker, and you must realize, of course, that there are probably hundreds of other filmmaker wannabes out there who want to make a good documentary film, who want to get the truth out in their own country. What would be your advice to them?
Have good sound. That's the hardest part, you know. People tune out when anything happens wrong, so You gotta always be aware of that. But you know, making a film is a tough job. But I think if more and more people go out there and start shooting these little things, that we could change the world overnight.
And the process itself, I mean, budgeting and planning, these are the sort of things that take a lot of dedication and a lot of time. And I don't know, what's possessed you?
I don't know. It's so hard every time. It's nonstop work for us, but like I said, me and Chris have been going since November, and we've gotten a lot of great stuff, and you can go to our website at thegreatcalling.org and help support us there. We have a PayPal link right on our front page, and you know, anything that you could do to help us get the word out is always appreciative.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, talking about getting the word out, I mean, we're in the middle of what I like to call the everything crisis, okay? We're talking about the food crisis, the medical crisis, the oil crisis, economic crisis, nuclear crisis, the stupidity crisis, of course. One of the most prominent. And the other thing is that we're entering into some form of political crisis. And in these times of great turmoil, what are you guys actually planning to do in terms of just survival?
Well, one, we bought a bunch of glass water jugs, and we're going to stay away from fluoride. We've been testing different samples of fluoride levels around our home and different water bottles, and it's crazy the levels of fluoride that we're getting in these tests. And, you know, it's people just need to be so aware of what they put in their body. And, you know, that's what this film is going to expose is, the toxic effects of heavy metals on our body, you know, and how it affects us.
Yeah, I mean, and another point Paul mentioned was, you know, he mentioned glass bottles. And, excuse me, that's very big. You know, the water bottle industry, bottled water industry is it's a scary industry in itself, as you know, as far as how this product is packaged, because you know it's petroleum based. These plastics, we have bisphenol A that's leaching into the foods. It's the canned goods as well. That's more contamination of BPA in just canned goods. So I guess in a sense, you kind of go back to the basics to be healthy. I try to eat only anything that's only packaged in glass. I have a cast iron skillet I cook everything on. No longer am I using aluminums or that sort of thing. I just try to eat a healthy or, you know, organic diet as much as I can afford, because there are chemicals in everything. You know, one of the bottled water companies that we looked into, because what we did in this film is we contacted every company, asked them exactly how much fluoride is in their end product. We got a completely, a wide spectrum of answers as far as the levels, the parts per million. And there was one manufacturer. They specialize in baby water. Now, if you can imagine, you know, fluoride is supposedly added to our water to increase our the strength of our teeth and our enamel, whatever they sell it to us as. And as an infant, you know, on formula, you don't have teeth developed yet. As a matter of fact, you're going to have, you know, baby teeth that come in, and you know, not until you're 5, 6, 7 years old, you know, you're not going to have those permanent teeth. So why are we fluoridating children's water, infants? Arrowhead Corporation, which is owned by Nestle, they had 5.2 parts per million in their bottled water. A lot of people say, well, don't drink the tap water. The tap water is bad. Yes, it is. It is true. It is contaminated. The answer isn't bottled water, let me tell you that. The only way to remove the fluoride, because it is a toxin, is through distillation. And not all reverse osmosis systems work. And when we looked at Arrowhead, it blew us away, because at five parts per million, the EPA standard is extremely high here, and it's 4 parts per million. Although the standard since 1962 is 0.7 to 1.2% part, 1.2 parts per million in the water. And we're finding levels in tap water at 3 parts per million, bottled water at 5 parts per million. It's mind-boggling. It has to be added at that 5 parts per million. It has to be added to achieve those levels, because typically the bottled water industry is nothing more than just filtered local water, wherever that manufacturer just so happens to be.
Yeah, and, yeah. Well, look at it this way. I mean, for those of you who are unaware of fluoride's toxicity, let's just put it into perspective. Mother's milk has 1/250th the amount of fluoride that municipal drinking water has at one part per million. And we're talking about here about bottled water that has 5 parts per million. They're trying to brain damage you. Okay? It's just that simple, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, absolutely right. It just really, really blew us away. And throughout this journey, again, this quest that I've taken, I've come to realize that just in the, you know, in the state of California alone, as far as where I'm from in Los Angeles, they didn't start fluoridating their water until 1999. So this isn't something, you know, it's progressing. It's growing more here in America. And if you look into Europe, it's 98% fluoride free in Europe right now. So they're doing something right over there. Somebody's speaking out, or they're just educating themselves. You know, we here in America, unfortunately, we're too focused on what's coming out of that screen, that television that people plug themselves into for 5-6 hours a day. And these topics are not going to come up. And if they do, it's a small little blip.
A small little blip that's totally whitewashed.
Oh, of course. Of course. You know? And that's why, you know, I commend you for what you're doing. And I always said this earlier, and not only you, but your audience for tuning in, you know, because it is going to be up to us to seek out alternative media sources, because, you know, not too many people are going to discuss these issues. And just because they're not discussed doesn't mean they're not there and that it's not going on. And my hat's off to you, Vinny. Seriously.
Oh, well, thank you. And, well, the good thing about this show is it's very international. We even have a listener from Tunisia named Ahmed, who's just so... Of course he is. Of course he's named Ahmed. You know, from Tunisia. What do you expect, man? And it's just great, you know, because, hey, patriots are everywhere. People are waking up everywhere. There is no possibility that the New World Order can get away with their frickin' plans, because there is a global awakening that has already started, and nothing can stop an idea whose time has effing come. You can't win a war on 2 fronts, let alone a war on a frickin' billion fronts. These people are effed, and they know it. And they're panicking.
Yeah, absolutely right.
That makes them dangerous, though.
Yeah, and like you said, it's the one thing that's not in their control are the number of us, the number of people. And that's why, you know, 1% of us just, you know, got off our tushes and started doing a little research and change your thought process and start, you know, consumerism is huge. If you demand fluoride-free bottled water, you know, make a phone call. There's a phone number right on the side of the bottle. I mean, you could call them and put in a complaint. If enough people did this, you would see change overnight. Hit them in the wallet.
Well, and in fact, there's a couple of things I'd like to say here, then a few plugs to give out. pH10.co.nz, the best water in the world, no effing fluoride, reverse osmosis, ozoned, sourced right here in New Zealand from an underground aquifer, naturally comes out of the ground at a pH of 10. And that's a good way to, if you're in Auckland, New Zealand, for any of the listeners there, for you to get some of that water. The good man there, Bob from pH10 Water, very, very good dude indeed. And also the other part of it is we want to talk about your film, thegreatculling.org. Check it out on the web, ladies and gentlemen, and I'd like to thank you, Chris, and you, Paul, for coming on the show with me today. It's been an absolute pleasure, guys.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you to the audience for listening to us.
Yeah, Vinny, thanks. I really do appreciate you guys helping us spread this word. It's an important one that needs to be, people do need to know about it.